In autumn 2003, Scott Price and his son Pat of Nashville, Tennessee, found themselves driving around Hyannis in a rental car, looking for goodwill. The trip was Scott's idea after Pat graduated from college. During the course of a year, they would travel to all 50 states and interview people about the good things in their lives.
We happened upon the Kennedy Memorial, but no one there. And then we saw at the far end a gentleman sitting in a lawn chair with a baseball cap on, and he got up, walked over, and said his name was Abel, A-B-E-L, Correa, spelled it for us, and said, "Everybody calls me Abe."
Abe Correa was born in New Bedford in the fall, 1920. He told his wife that as a boy he spent much of his time at the YMCA, where an instructor named Mr. Kelly taught him gymnastics, acrobatics, and strength training. He worked as a shoe leather cutter before joining the Navy. Later in life, he spent nearly two decades greeting people at the Kennedy Memorial, overlooking Lewis Bay and Hyannis.
And he was just delightful and asked, you know, "What brings you fellows up this way?" And we said, "Well, we're working on a book. Could we interview you?" And he readily agreed. And one of Pat's questions is, "Which person living or dead would you most like to meet?" And he said, "Oh, I'd most like to meet General Douglas MacArthur." Abe had served in the Pacific for 4 years during the Second World War. And he said, "General MacArthur was a great general. I'd like to meet him." When Pat said, "If you could begin a new career, what would you choose to do?" Abe said, "Well, I like what I've done." And he didn't say what he had done. We never asked him, and don't to this day know what his career was. But he said, "I like what I've done. I feel good about it. Tomorrow will be my 83rd birthday." And Pat said, "Well, what's the best decision you've made in your life?" And he said, "Oh, getting married to my wife, Shirley."
Shirley was a dancer, a ballerina, and chorus girl in Australia, and she met Abe in 1949.
We met in Sydney. My husband was an Adagio act, the Three Glens, and they were the star act that came from Las Vegas, and I introduced their act.
The Three Glens were well known in America, opening for Vegas stars such as Tommy Dorsey and the big bands, including Harry James, when a young Frank Sinatra was singing with him. The Glens act was like dancing, with the three acrobats slowly holding themselves and each other off the ground in graceful strength positions.
They were the first act in America, generally acrobats in those way back in the vaudeville days I'm talking about, would work bare-chested, but not the Glens. They were the first act to come in, and they wore full tucks. The act, when he came to Australia, he worked with Liberace.
Despite his somewhat quiet, humble, and even meek personality, Abel let Shirley know that he was interested in her. But when he asked to date her, she declined.
The Americans were known, if they came over, they just wanted to date, you know. And then some of the girls got very serious, but their men never came back to Australia to marry them. So he used to ask me a lot in Sydney, "Would you like to go out? I'd like to date you." "No, I'm sorry, I can't." So when we left for Melbourne, we all go on a train. We traveled by train then. And who was sitting near me but him? And then he asked us all, my girlfriends that were in the ballet too, would we like a cup of tea? And we went to have a cup of tea on the dining car. And he sat on a seat that had reserved on it. And the waitress was terribly rude. She was awful to him. And he was such a gentleman. That was it. I looked at him and thought, what a wonderful, kind human being. And that was it.
6 weeks after their first date, Shirley and Abe were married. Shirley's mother was not pleased. But for 10 years, they lived in Australia, where they raised three children before returning to Massachusetts to take one of their sons for medical treatment.
Our dream was someday to have the money to own a gym. But that didn't work out because we came from a socialized medicine country, and the money we had saved up to get all these things going for my husband, I think, went in about a month at Boston Children's Hospital. So then it was just struggle from then on.
The Koreas gave up their show business dreams to care for their children, and they moved to Worcester when Abe got a job managing a gym. He trained two bodybuilders who went on to win Mr. Worcester titles. Korea had a prize-winning physique himself, but unable to survive on his gym salary, he took a job as a custodian for many years at Blythewood Elementary School in Worcester. Blythewood was one of the last coal-heated schools in the state, and during snowstorms, a dedicated Korea slept on a cot next to the school's furnace, so he'd be nearby when it needed coal.
He was known as Honest Abe.
That's Abe's daughter, Chris Doobie.
So that was our joke. He was always honest and sweet and just liked everybody.
Well, that started how we got Honest Abe was when we first moved to Worcester. And there was this quite a snowstorm, and I needed something at a little store. So he walked in the snow. He came home, and the snow's all over him because we didn't own a car in those days. And when he came home, he said, I've got to go back. They gave me a dollar too much. I said, Abe, well, you can wait till the next day. It's snowing. He said, oh, no, I'll go back now. So after that, we used to call him Honest Abe. He walked all the way back in the snowstorm to give the dollar.
Upon retirement, Shirley and Abe moved to Cape Cod, where Korea spent 19 years as a gatekeeper at the JFK Memorial in Hyannis. His job included raking the coins from the fountain there, as well as taking care of the grounds. He greeted thousands of visitors in Portuguese, English, and Spanish, while wearing his red jacket embroidered with the words, Veteran Beach Attendant. Abe's work at the memorial led him to meet Scott and Pat Price, the father and son who traveled 75,000 miles to all 50 states over the duration of a year to interview people about goodwill and the good things in their lives. They wrote about Abe's answers in their book, Looking for Goodwill.
Pat's last question was always, do you have a message of encouragement? Abe said, well, my grandchildren are four-year-old twins, a boy and a girl. I'll tell your readers what I tell them. I try to explain what life is about. And always be polite and courteous, and try to help others.
Abel Correa was 83 when he answered the Price's questions at the Kennedy Memorial. During the next 9 years, he was slowed down by Parkinson's disease. His family says that after all his healthy living, it wasn't until he was very sick that he began to even look near his age. He died on December 30th, 2011, at age 91. For WCAI, I'm Sean Corcoran.